I would say the masks were the beginning point, and they're the ongoing point of the fear and of the fuel that's driving this car of terror and psychopathy in our country. And I think the reason for that is masks are essentially walking billboards of fear. That is what they are. A mask today says nothing other than I am afraid. Now, it also says I'm better than you, but essentially it's I am afraid. If all the masks disappeared tomorrow, I believe the fear would start to dissipate as well. Without the visible reminder that we should be, need be, afraid all the time, walking around, seeing other people with masks on, I don't think that this paranoid, mass psychotic vehicle could continue. I really don't.
So have you been to an area where you're not walking around seeing the mass psychosis since 2020? And is it a refreshing feeling for you?
I have. I've been to 5 states, and I've also been to the territory of Puerto Rico. And what I can tell you that I've seen consistently is that this is not a state by state problem. It is not a right and left problem. It is a urban and rural issue. If you go outside of major cities, even Los Angeles, people are largely acting normally. They are not afraid. If you go into a large city, even if it's in Florida or Texas, as you know, I was recently in Austin about 2 weeks ago filming with Plandemic 3 with Mickey Willis. People are scared. People are indoctrinated. And why? Because people in cities are dependent on government. People in rural areas are dependent on their families, the church, and their civic organizations.
Everything we've witnessed in the last few decades has only been the buildup for what the globalists are doing right now. This is their big offensive. This is their takeover. And this is the point that they're at their very weakest, because now they've revealed themselves. Now their world government, their permanent martial law, their medical tyranny is out in the open. Their depopulation agenda has been exposed, but they're using their corporate power and trillions to go across the planet and shut down people telling the truth. So listen, Paul Revere's, when you spread the word about the broadcast, when you pray for the broadcast, you're the tip of the spear. And when you buy products at InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on air. Plus, we've got great products that have been sold out for months that are back in stock, 50% off, X2 and Winter Sun. Both of these are in our top 5 bestsellers. They are so good for your body. And if there's 2 things you do for your body, it's these 2 products. They're all back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off, and it keeps us on the air. Only way we fail is if you don't take action.
Ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer taking over the Alex Jones Show now for the next 2 hours. I've got 2 great guests. First, we're joined here in just a matter of seconds by Dr. Mark McDonald. And then Darren Beatty is going to be joining me in the 4th hour. And then I'm going to be covering all the news, hosting the War Room today after that. So with you for the next 5 hours. Now, here is a timeline of a term, a very short introduction, if you haven't heard of this, where you're talking about mass mental illness or mass delusional psychosis or mass formation, or now it's mass formation psychosis. Dr. Mark McDonald talked about that in 2020. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, and others have also picked up the terminology and kind of rephrased it. But Mark McDonald, Dr. McDonald with us now. Let's just do a brief introduction here, short 3-minute segment now, and then the long segments after that. What is it that you witnessed, that you saw, that led you to coin the phrase mass delusional psychosis, Dr. Mark McDonald?
Well, let me give you a brief example of what I mean by that. When I began to leave my home here in Los Angeles, where I work, and see alone people walking, biking, driving in their cars, wearing masks on their faces, back in April and May of 2020, I noticed that there was something terribly wrong. What it reminded me of, Owen, is the feeling that I had when I was in my residency program 12 years ago, and I would enter a locked ward in a psychiatric inpatient unit, and I would see that anyone around me that wasn't wearing a badge was most likely psychotic or otherwise crazy. That's the same feeling that I started to have when I left my house here in Los Angeles in May of 2020. I knew something was wrong. I knew this was not a medical illness. This was a psychological illness. And so I began to document it. I began to notice it in my patients, and I began to speak out about it.
So in other words, walking around in Los Angeles with the people brainwashed by the media in this mass delusional psychosis made you feel like you were in a psych ward just walking around in public.
Correct. That's exactly how I felt. It was a visceral feeling, and it came from years and years of training and observing insane people. And when I say insane, what I mean specifically in this case is the loss of rational faculty, the loss of the ability to make critical thought decisions, to weigh risks and benefits, to evaluate evidence. In a nutshell, to think for oneself.
Now, obviously, in 2020 is when the mask was introduced, and we've seen the insanity since then. I mean, you'll see people running, you know, doing a jog with a mask on, cutting off their air supply. There was a CBS report just earlier this week, I don't know if you've seen it, where they are promoting masks for children, and the reporter puts a mask on, and she says, "See, look, there's no air getting in or out of my mask." No air? I mean, you're promoting kids not to breathe air? So, I mean, where do you look to see how did this happen? How did people start doing this? Why are people doing this? I mean, not to place blame or fault, but I mean, that's what it is. How did these people get introduced to this mass delusion?
So in May of 2020, I was speaking at the Orange County School Board of Education meeting on reopening the schools. We all thought this was going to be 15 days to flatten the curve, right? Well, we're now on month, 21, 22 of flattening this curve? Nonsense. And what I said after 4 hours of dry, dull, cantankerous, and just overwrought emotional debate at this meeting was, I stood up and I said, why are we here? Why are we talking about this? Why are we arguing about masks and closing schools and opening schools? And I paused and I said, here's the answer. The answer is because we, the adults, are afraid. And we are transferring our fear and our anxiety onto our children because we do not have the courage to stand up as adults and protect them. We have failed our children. Fast forward to January of 2022, this week, as you said, N95 masks are now being required in the state of California for children to return to school after they've been tested, after they've been injected, and after they've been boosted. This insanity is still present 2 years later.
And you know, that's the perfect answer. We're going to a break here, short 90-second break, but that is the perfect answer. It's fear. Fear has done this to us, something that we have control of. We don't have to live in fear. We do not have to live in fear, ladies and gentlemen. And my guest, Dr. Mark McDonald, incredible resume. I was reading it before he joined here. No need to go into it, folks, but it's great to see minds and leaders now like Dr. McDonald standing up to what we're seeing now, which in my view is mass mental illness. The term has been coined by him in 2020, mass delusional psychosis. Other doctors have rephrased it as mass formation psychosis. It's mass Stockholm syndrome, folks. We're all seeing it. We all know what it is. And it's sad. And there's so many different elements of this we're going to get into with Dr. McDonald here in this hour. And, you know, I kind of want to start with this because you talked about your experience in psych wards in California and how eerie it was to be walking the streets of California feeling like you're in a psych ward now with all the people walking around in a mask. Let's build off of that for a second. We want to help people that have mental illnesses. This is why we form these wards and we try to have programs to help them, maybe even get them back to normal life, productive members of society. Now we have this mass mental illness that is being forced upon us out in the public in so many places. California may be the worst, New York up there as well. But there doesn't seem to be any care. Nobody seems to want to help these people. The media wants to drive them into even a more mass psychosis. So how do we deal with this element of, hey, we used to look at mass mental illness or mental illness in general and say, we want to help you. We want you to drop these, you know, problems that you have. We want you to be a productive member of society again. Well, now mass mental illness is promoted as a good thing to the public. How do you even wrap your head around that?
You just brought up a really good point, Owen. 2 years ago, when I would see a child come into my office, who was washing his hands 10 times an hour, who was checking the locks on the door 16 times a day, who was clinging to his mother's arms because he was afraid of going to a sleepover because he didn't want to get sick, I called that obsessive compulsive disorder. I called that a phobia. I advised therapy. Sometimes I would advise medications, depending on the severity. It was called an illness. Now, that's not a judgment against the child. It's an observation. If you're overweight, you diet. If you're afraid, if you're fearful, if you have a mental illness, a phobia, you get mental support. You get a therapist. You get a psychiatrist. Well, now not only are we not pathologizing it, we are turning that into a virtue. I wear two masks. Huh. Well, I wear three. I'm better than you. I don't wear any mask. Well, then you're evil. There has been moral judgment placed upon people based upon how fearful they are and not in the right direction. That's why I wrote my book, United States of Fear, in November of this past year, to explain how and why fear, not medicine, fear has been driving this pandemic from the very beginning. If we do not address the fear, if we do not expose fear for being a powerful and insidious and destructive emotion, far more powerful than love, far more powerful than hate, we are doomed.
Well, and that's really what this is. And I don't want to make this a political thing. You didn't come on here to make this a political thing. But here in the year 2022, it is. The lines have been drawn. The dust has settled. Trump's not in the White House anymore. In 2020, you know, people were maybe a little confused, maybe curious. Okay, let's see what the deal with this virus is. Let's see if I get sick or my friends get sick. Let's see if people around me are dying. That's all gone now. And so, not to politicize this issue, because that's not what I intend to do here today. I don't know your politics. I don't care to. You're just telling the truth as a doctor here today. But I mean, what do we do when we see it's the same people promoting the masks? It's the same people promoting the vaccines. It's the same people promoting the fear. And then the ones that stand against that are the ones that get censored, the one that get demonized, the ones that get blamed for everything. How do we keep this to be a non-political issue, but a human issue and a health issue? How do we do that when it's been so politicized?
It's very difficult, Owen, because the country is divided into two groups. And I don't mean right and left. I don't mean conservatives and liberals. I mean the fearful and the non-fearful. Now, some of that is politically charged, and there are a lot of political correlates between those two. But I know a lot of people that would consider themselves and self-describe themselves as Republicans or conservatives who are also living in fear. So it is not perfectly politically driven. If we think about it that way, I think we can develop some empathy, some sympathy for people who are suffering, regardless of their political affiliations. And more importantly, those who are afraid and those who are not afraid can unite against the smaller group that is actually driving this. And that is the collusive trifecta, the witch's cabal, as I called it in May of 2020, of corrupt government, corrupt media, and corrupt corporations. Some of them are Republican, some of them are Democrat. They all have united in one direction, and that direction is to scare us, to keep us afraid so that we can be controlled and we can become dependent upon them for decision-making over our children, over our schools, over our jobs, over our bodies. That is not a political issue. That is an American issue. That is a human issue. It is a critical one for all of us to see and to realize that the enemy is not your neighbor. The enemy is not your father, your brother, your boss. The enemy is the government, the media, and the corporations that are taking advantage of our fear right now to take over our lives.
You know, that's one of my biggest frustrations when I hear people blaming somebody or a virus for the shutdown, saying a virus shut us down, a virus closed my school, a virus did this, a virus did that. No, a virus didn't do any of that. Actually, a virus can't do any of that. The government is what did that. Let's not blame a virus. Let's blame the government. They did the shutdowns. But months after we had the COVID shutdown or the government shutdown of our economy in the name of COVID, months after they decide to start putting out the masks, was that kind of the first time for you walking around seeing the mask, the nonsensical healthy people wearing a mask and the fear, jogging with a mask, wearing a mask alone in your car, people shower with masks, sleep with masks? Was that kind of the first moment for you where you realized, okay, something else is going on here, and that's when you started to have the internal discussion with yourself and then publicly discuss mass mental illness?
I would say the masks were the beginning point and they're the ongoing point of the fear and of the fuel that's driving this car of terror and psychopathy in our country. And I think the reason for that is masks are essentially walking billboards of fear. That is what they are. A mask today says nothing other than I am afraid. Now, it also says I'm better than you, but essentially it's I am afraid. If all the masks disappeared tomorrow, I believe the fear would start to dissipate as well. Without the visible reminder that we should be, need be, afraid all the time, walking around, seeing other people with masks on, I don't think that this paranoid, mass psychotic vehicle could continue. I really don't. And I wrote about that in my book, United States of Fear, in the beginning of the book, where I describe how important it is for these cultural icons, these visible reminders of fear that have been indoctrinated and ingrained into our brains for the last 20 years, whether it's systemic racism, ecological collapse, toxic masculinity, rape culture, Donald Trump, white supremacy, all this nonsense. All of these things have primed us, have groomed us, the way that a child molester grooms a child, to normalize fear, to make it a good thing, to make it okay, so that when we're told to wear a mask, we didn't say, that's stupid, that's ridiculous, I'm not a fearful person. What we said was, absolutely, thank you, can I have another mask, please, sir?
I'm curious, have you, I mean, I'm sure you have, I just don't know, but have you left California since 2020 and been to maybe Texas or Florida or a Montana or a Wyoming or somewhere where you don't have to walk outside and see the mass psychosis? Because I'm in an area in Austin, Texas, where the fear mongering over COVID is hitting us hard. Our mayor is demanding everybody get vaccinated, telling us the hospitalization rate's doubling every day, which of course is just, it's just obviously inaccurate. People would be falling out of windows. It'd be so busy if that was the case. It's not, they're empty. I've been there. So have you been to an area where you're not walking around seeing the mass psychosis since 2020? And is it a refreshing feeling for you?
I have. I've been to 5 states, and I've also been to the territory of Puerto Rico. And what I can tell you that I've seen consistently is that this is not a state-by-state problem. It is not a right and left problem. It is a urban and rural issue. If you go outside of major cities, even Los Angeles, people are largely acting normally. They are not afraid. If you go into a large city, even if it's in Florida or Texas, as you know, I was recently in Austin about 2 weeks ago filming with Plandemic 3 with Mickey Willis. People are scared. People are indoctrinated. And why? Because people in cities are dependent on government. People in rural areas are dependent on their families, the church, and their civic organizations.
Very, very telling. Powerful stuff with Dr. McDonald. We will be right back. Back live here on the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer sitting in for Alex. We've got Dr. Mark McDonald on with us here. We're talking about mass psychosis, mass mental illness, and the display of this since 2020. And, you know, I would argue that this has been going on long before 2020, but the mask has become the flag of it, if you will, the advertisement, the publicity of it now. And so it's just in your face. And, you know, it's a weird thing, doctor. And let's start the conversation back up this way, because, you know, I'll go to the grocery store or I'll be at the gym or something and I'll see somebody running in a mask. And part of me wants to say, hey, you know, that's not good. You're inhaling your carbon dioxide emissions. This is bad for your lungs. You could get hypoxia. There can be long-term damage. I wouldn't suggest wearing that mask. Or I see parents with their kids in masks at the store, and I say, hey, that's not good for your kids. Kids have a very low problem with COVID anyway, so it's not even a threat to them to begin with, and you're causing them to live in fear and this problem. But I understand, too, because I studied psychology in college, that you have to be very delicate with people who are under mass psychosis. They can become dangerous very quickly. And so, how do we balance that? How do we balance wanting to help somebody that's living in fear under the mass psychosis versus realizing that, you know what, maybe I can't help them, and if I try, that could trigger a worse reaction? What do we do about that?
Well, when you're getting to the last chapter of my book, United States of Fear, which is titled The Way Forward, and it answers that exact question, I'm working on another book right now, which is actually going to be Recovery from Fear, a 12-step program modeled after AA and Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. So that should be coming out in a few months, and I'll give a really good step-by-step manualized pathway forward for people to get rid of and recover from their fear. But in brief, what I described in the first book, United States of Fear, is that you need to first acknowledge that this is not a data war. The data war was won 2 years ago. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, Brian Tyson. We have probably a dozen people that I know personally as colleagues who have proven their points time and time again that masks do not work, that we do not need to rely on these so-called vaccinations, which are really just drugs and gene therapies, that we have alternatives and ways to treat this illness that will allow for nearly 100% of all the people infected to survive without hospitalization, certainly not with death. No, the problem is not that. The problem is not lack of data, lack of medical information. The problem is fear. The problem is psychology. The problem is mass delusional psychosis. We need to address that. And as a therapist, what I try to do is, rather than beat people over the heads with data, even though it's true, you could pass out if you wear a mask while you're jogging. Absolutely true. That's not going to help. Believe me, I've tried. What you need to do is you need to acknowledge that people are scared. You need to first say, you look very anxious. You seem to be very concerned about your safety. Can you tell me more about that? What is it that you're afraid of? Let that person talk. Let that person share his fears or her fears with you. Once you understand where that person is coming from, and once that person acknowledges and accepts that you care about how he or she feels, now you're in a much, much better position to offer advice, to offer solutions, to offer alternative ways of thinking that are more rational, that are more healthy, and that are more agentic, meaning more autonomous. That's the way to start the conversation. It's not to argue, it's to be empathic and to acknowledge the fear. Then that person will know that they're being heard.
And, you know, it always, you know, we always want to come from a place of love. And I guess that's the best way to kind of come from that place, from a more soft, approachable manner, because you talk about being an example. So, okay, we don't go around wearing a mask. And that's, you know, that's one of the oddest things to me. I'll be at the gym and let's say there's 100 people in there and there'll be two people wearing a mask. And it's the same two people that have been wearing a mask for, you know, 6 months or whatever. And I think to myself, why is it that they're not seeing everybody else around them not living in fear, everybody else around them not getting sick, not worried about touching gym equipment? I mean, we'll play basketball, sweating all over each other, sweating on the ball, you know, spitting and all this stuff, just normal human activity, not living in fear. And it kind of goes back to what you said earlier, is that the mask is more of a flag of I'm better than you, I'm virtue signaling, I care more about other people. So how do you break down that barrier when they're not wearing the mask, maybe not even necessarily out of fear, but as a virtue signal to make the public stance that they're better than you because they're trying to stop COVID and you're not?
Well, this is a very important distinction. As I said earlier, there are two groups, the fearful and the non-fearful. But there is a group that present themselves as being fearful when actually they're not fearful at all. They're just simply trying to show that they're good people. These are the people that walk into the restaurants wearing 1, 2, 3 masks, nodding their head at the maitre d', winking their eyes, saying, that's right, we all understand that we need to show that we're afraid, but then sits down at the table, rips all the masks off, and starts kissing and making out and coughing and sneezing, dancing.
I mean, seriously, like the pro-science, this is the least scientific thing you could ever see.
Of course. I mean, this is London Breed in San Francisco. I got feeled by the movement of Tony, 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 so I just had to get up and dance without my mask on. And then when she was criticized for it, what did she say? She said, well, you know, there's a lot of policies that have been put in place that we really have to honor, and some of them are a little bit too strict. I wish we could do something about that. Well, Mrs. Mayor, you're the one who created the policies. Why don't you look in the mirror? I mean, we've seen this time and time again. Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, I mean, all the politicians that push this stuff, they're all playing the game, they're all breaking the rules, and they're doing the same thing that the people in your gym are doing. They just got caught on camera, unfortunately.
Well, that's where I was going to go next, because this is, well, it's just, there's so many examples of exactly what you're talking about. They're not wearing it for fear at all. I mean, you just had Eric Swalwell caught in Florida vacationing, not wearing a mask. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing, hugging, kissing, transsexual who are sexually active, by the way. So, I mean, you're even opening yourself up to more disease, but she's kissing them, dancing with them, no mask. Pelosi in Florida, Newsom having giant dinners without masks, Obama with his 500-person party, nobody wearing a mask. So, I mean, again, I want to not make this political, because I realize when you make things political, you just shut off half the people that you're trying to reach. But I mean, how is it that they don't see that? How is it that they don't see that the very people that are telling them to live in fear aren't afraid of the virus themselves?
Some of them are now. I had a patient who came in today who told me that his parents, who have been masking and vaccinating from day one, who have been at odds with him because he's an awake, alert, oriented, rational, non-fearful young adult, they finally caught this cold, this Omicron variant. And they've done everything right. They believed in it. And he turned to one of them today and he said to his mother, gosh, you know, dad must be the first breakthrough case of a triple vaccinated masked individual who actually caught this disease. Mm. And they stopped for a moment and they all started laughing because they realized they had been party to the farce. More and more people are realizing the Zoom class, as they called it in the brownstone.org article that was published a couple of days ago, the Zoom class is now getting sick. The ones that double and triple masked and they got their boosters and their second boosters and they wore gloves and they stayed home and they socially distanced, they did all of this to save themselves from that awful disease because they're better people. There's far better people than you and I who go out and spread infection and kill grandma. They're catching it too. And so now the joke's on them. And so the idea of being virtuous, even though you and everyone else is still getting sick, it's not going to fly much longer. I think this cart has finally run out of fuel. I don't think it's going to be able to proceed.
And that leads to my next big question, which will be right after this break.
Christmas 2021 is gone. It's in the rearview mirror. But you can still take advantage of Christmas prices going to the new year at InfoWarsStore.com. On two of our best-selling products, now finally back in stock, we have the number one bestseller of all time, X2, the deep earth crystal iodine that is essential for all your body's activities, electrochemical functions of the cells, the mitochondria, your immune system. It is back in stock. X2 is 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And right in time for the deepest part of winter, we have Winter Sun back in stock, the highest quality vitamin D3 for your immune system. And again, your whole body is back in stock, ready to ship to you right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So it's a 360 win. It keeps us on air, and it also makes your life so much healthier and better. So get your supply up to date at InfoWarsStore.com right now.
So I've got the trillion-dollar question for Dr. McDonald here, but I want to get into one more thing because he mentioned it in the last segment before I ask him that. And you know, and I don't know if you've seen this, but when it's like we've crossed this barrier, it just makes me wonder if there's ever any return. When you see corporate emails going out and college email chains going out from professors and dean of students and whatnot, where they say you must wear a mask in the Zoom meetings because some people are afraid of people that don't wear masks. So again, there's that element of fear. Or Syracuse University and others where they say, oh, you have to be vaccinated. In fact, there's a university here in Austin that's doing the same thing, saying you have to be vaccinated even if you're attending class digitally. So you're never on campus, you're never around anybody, even digitally. So now they're taking these mandates that they're pushing everywhere to the digital forum, which to me just proves it was never about health. It was never about COVID. It was always about the mandates. So it's like when you see people saying you have to wear a mask during a Zoom meeting where you're all alone in a room, or you have to be vaccinated to attend class on Zoom when you're all alone in a room. I mean, how do we even return from that level of psychosis and brainwashing?
Well, we can't unless we withdraw from that sort of nonsense. I saw the meme that's up right now. I read it this morning. I thought it was a joke. It's not. It's real. I had a patient that came in today who attends California State University. They're putting out the same the same requests for the CSUN state campuses that you just saw on the screen for other universities and other schools. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. The only way, in my view, that we can fight back against this is to acknowledge and expose this for what it is, which is a direct, overt request, demand for totalitarian control of our population. There is no regime in history, certainly not in the 20th century, that ever allowed for freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and more importantly, physical and bodily autonomy and respect for parents and children. And actually continued. Every single time that I've seen this in history, before a government takes over complete control, it issues absurd, ridiculous orders, a la George Orwell, 1984, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. It attempts to control people's thoughts and the use of language so that you cannot fight back with reason, you cannot fight back with rational decision-making and immediate and necessary argumentation against what is absurd. We have a moment here where we can make a decision to stand up and say, this is absurd. The emperor has new clothes, or we can cave in and we can continue to comply and we will lose all of our liberties and all of our freedoms. And this country will be over.
You know, and that's my fear. And that's why we do these broadcasts here at InfoWars. That's really what drives all this. Not that we're driven by fear. We're driven by love of freedom. We're driven by love of prosperity. And so we see that at threat. And so you've kind of already gotten into this answer. But here's the billion-dollar question. Here's the trillion-dollar question, really. How and when does all of this end? Because if it doesn't end, we know where it goes. And that's that just more mandates, constant mandates, no more freedom, 24/7 masks, vaccine every week. I mean, that's the medical fascistic tyranny that where this is going now. Or how and when do you see this mass mental illness, mass psychosis ending?
Oh, and I don't see this ending until what I hope will happen happens. I'm not certain that it will, but I certainly hope that it will. We are seeing two things occurring right now at the same time in parallel. We are seeing an awakening or an opening up to the reality, to the truth of what's happening among the bulk of the population that is not trying to destroy the country, nor are they the people who knew from the beginning that this was all a farce. The people that you might call the awake, the non-fearful, the conservatives, the independents, the Republicans, whatever you want to call them. There's a larger group in the middle part of the country that is not very political. They just sort of want to do the right thing. And they've been conned, they've been lied to for about 2 years now. As this is happening, as people are waking up to the lie, as the people who have been gone, as I said earlier, got 2, 3, 4 shots, all the masks, all the gloves, staying home, zooming it in, they're also getting sick and they're recovering perfectly well without any treatment, thank God. As this is happening, the powers, primarily in government, that are trying to continue to maintain a grasp and a hold over us, they are going double and triple down. They are pushing so far in the direction of absurdity, like the memes that you put up earlier about wear a mask when you're in front of a computer screen, which is absolutely absurd, that I think that this is an indication, and I say this because of my study of history, of the last gasp of a dying regime. Anytime an authoritarian power is about to lose that power irrevocably, they always jump too far. And this is a good thing because it will start to awaken suddenly the people to what has happened in the last 2 years. The ratcheting effect, the step-by-step, the incrementalism that's been going on for the last 20 months, it can't continue anymore. There's no more incrementalism to pull. There's no more ratcheting to turn. They have to jump into the complete theater of the absurd. And I believe that once this is seen, once this is revealed, and it is being revealed right now, I think that the middle part of America, the group of the 60% that are not politically active on either side, they are going to stand up and say no. They're going to push back. This is the only way forward that I can see, because if it doesn't happen, it's all over.
You know, I'm seeing this in more commentary, what you just brought up, or I'm hearing this in more commentary, rather, this, and you can debate the numbers. I've said it's 33, 33, 33. Some people say 30%, 30%, 40%, but basically it's the same thing. There's, to make a generalization, three mindsets or three classes of people right now that, like you brought up, there's the people that understand what's going on in relation to masks or vaccines. They're not wearing the mask. They're not getting the vaccine. And then there's the people that have fully bought into all of it. They love wearing their mask. They'll take as many vaccines as they can. They'll make sure that you and everybody they know about it too, how great they are. And then there's the middle group of people. Some of them may lean more about, nah, I don't like mask or vaccine. Some of them may lean more, yeah, I will wear the mask. I will take the vaccine. But they're not really committed to either side. And you feel like this split, something's got to give, because eventually they're going to have to make the decision. Do I want to live in the mandate land? Do I want to live in a land of mandates and mass psychosis? Or do I want to go back to some semblance of normalcy just so I can live my life like I was years before?
The country, as you've heard frequently from this famous quote, was founded on the premise that our freedom is contingent on the ongoing virtue of the people. We need a virtuous people. We need a rational people. Without that, we cannot have freedom. Freedom comes with responsibility, and that responsibility is to use your brain to think for yourself. Because if you don't think for yourself, someone else will think for you. And they will not be thinking of you. That is critical. That is foundational. We cannot be saved by a Messiah. We will not be saved by a Donald Trump or another Donald Trump. We won't be saved by the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, as wonderful as this man is, as great as his leadership and courage is. He cannot save us. Government cannot save us from ourselves. We have to do that. We have to get back to the individual responsibility of the citizen, the civic responsibility to stand up and protect ourselves, our children, our families, against government. As Reagan said 30, 40 years ago, government is not the solution. Government is the problem. This is not a right or left issue, or I should say right or liberal issue. It is a left issue because for the left, government is always the answer. But for everyone that's not on the far left, we have to accept and realize that it's up to us to take back charge of our own lives, to take that power away from government, to de-energize it. That is the source of the problem. And the first step in doing that is to address our fear, to recover from the fear, so that everyone else, everyone that's already on board and fighting, can join with the new group, and then we can push back against the corrupt government, the people that are trying to destroy our lives and take them over. That, I believe, is the way forward.
And in a way, that's just kind of back to the basics of what founded this country and made it so great. And to quote Reagan again, he said he believes that when fascism comes to this country, it will come in the name of liberalism. Boy, how right was Reagan with that one as well. One more segment coming up. Don't go anywhere. We're back here on the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer sitting in studio. Dr. Mark McDonald is our guest. And ladies and gentlemen, if you like this interview and you like the guests that we get on and you like our transmissions, please remember to shop at InfoWarsStore.com. We sell great supplements. I take the supplements every day. I start every morning with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Go look at the ingredients. Go look at the list of all the vitamins that are in it. Vitamin A, B, C, D, E, more than your daily value in some cases. Why wouldn't you want to start your morning with that? Tastes great as well. Survival Shield X2. 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Fight back against the fluoride in the water, the bad halogen, with the good halogen, iodine. Most people are iodine efficient and they don't even know it. And so that's why we sell Survival Shield X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. And then when you shop there, we can keep these transmissions on the air so we can get the great guests like Dr. Mark McDonald. Now, final segment with Dr. McDonald. I'm curious, are there any other signs of mass psychosis, perhaps not related to COVID, that you're seeing in the world today?
That's a good question. Most of what I discuss has to do with the vaccines, the masks, the social distancing. But as I explain in my book, United States of Fear, I don't believe that that really is the end game of the institution of fear. I think that this is just a temporary vehicle. I think that the goal of mass delusional psychosis is ultimately to place people under a dependent state. And so the signs of mass delusional psychosis that I see that don't really surround the medical pandemic have to do with the ongoing degradation, deterioration of good autonomous decision making. People in my practice, for example, who are scared, not only are they having trouble making good decisions regarding their health, they're having a really hard time making good decisions about how to care for their children, how to make decisions about careers, about marriages, about travel, about where to live. A lot of their decisions now are being driven by fear. And I think that the inability to make good decisions, the idea that one cannot live and think for oneself, is also a larger symptom of this mass delusional psychosis. It's a mechanism of control, ultimately. So beyond the shots, beyond the masks, beyond the shutdowns, because this will end eventually, we have to really address that point as a nation. We have to get back to thinking rationally and thinking for ourselves. Because if we stay in this state of perpetual trauma, we will ultimately be controlled by someone else, generally by a larger government power. And that is not in our best interests.
Now, here's a problem I think a lot of people can relate to. I mean, myself included, it's a frustrating thing. It's sometimes infuriating. And that's just living in the world of mass delusional psychosis and dealing with it. And so sometimes it feels like it's driving me insane. So how do we live in a world of mass delusional psychosis without becoming it?
Well, one of the first things that you should do, and I mentioned this in the last chapter of United States of Fear on the way forward, is you need to find other people who are like-minded, and you need to surround yourself with them. And I'm not talking about Facebook friends, although that's a good start. I'm talking about real live human beings that you can actually spend time with face to face. And if that's not possible, then at least get a group that can chat through video on one of the platforms that you can share. This is so important. When I was starting out in 2020, middle part of the year, I felt very isolated, especially being here in Los Angeles, where 80 to 90% of the population lost its mind, literally. And so I started to speak out. And by speaking out, other people came to me, local people, and they said, I'm so glad that you're speaking about how I've been feeling the last few months. I want to get together. I want to form a group. I want to have talk sessions where we can just sit and explain what's going on to ourselves and with our families. It made an enormous difference, huge difference. No matter where you live, you can do that, whether it's a small town or an urban area. That alone, surrounding yourself with like-minded people, will help to keep you remaining sane and protect you, inoculate you to a large degree from the insanity that surrounds you.
Yeah, and I would say that definitely helps me, is being around sane people and having rational conversations. But really, it's almost just an escape from the delusion world when you're just with people that don't live in it. It's just an escape. But, you know, the final thing I want to talk about today before we let you go here, talk about the importance of understanding trauma-based mind control and where you see it being applied today.
I have been working on a legal case for the last couple of months around a child, a teenager, who's now closing around 20 years old. She was sexually abused by her biological father for several years. She was raped repeatedly over a number of months, perhaps years. Eventually, he impregnated her and she had the child. The paternity test confirmed that it was her biological father. He was arrested, removed from the home. She's now been in therapy for several years. When I read the therapist's notes, what struck me the most was not the monstrosity of the abuse, but the fact that she still wishes to reunite with her father and finds it incredibly cruel that he's been taken from her. She does not want to accept that this man is a monster. And I thought, this is so strange. Why would somebody who's been abused so horrifically want to return and live with the same man? And then it struck me, we only have one father, we only have one mother. If our mother is taken from us, we are left bereft. We are abandoned, we are orphaned. We cannot replace that mother or father. We can replace them with a metaphorical figure, with an uncle, with an aunt, but that one person is the only link that we have to father and mother. So think about that on a macro level. If we have to turn against a corrupt government, a government that's been abusing us, then we will be left bereft as well. We'll be left abandoned and orphaned. I think this is one of the biggest obstacles and one of the biggest techniques, really, that the government is using to keep people from standing up, speaking out, opening their eyes. Because the government knows that if a people is dependent on it, as we are as children, dependent on our parents, and the government fails us, as this father failed his daughter, that it takes tremendous courage and tremendous community support to cut those ties and to go a separate path and take a separate way. So I think that the state of trauma, which is what this poor girl is still in, is what our nation is suffering from right now. We need a national program of recovery from trauma on a national level. Because if we stay frozen, we stay fearful, we stay dependent on the abuser, as you mentioned earlier, the Stockholm syndrome of identification with the abuser, even if the door is left open, we will not walk through it. We will not leave. We'll stay in the cage just like animals do when they've been in a zoo for 10 years and the zookeeper leaves the gate open. The animals don't want to leave. That's kind of what we've become.
Make the government your mommy or daddy or significant other relationship. And then, yeah, you can induce that. And I don't know if you've seen this, but the Universal Mental Health Awareness Group or whatever put out a diagram, 15 signs you're in an abusive relationship. And obviously they're talking about, you know, relationships or marriages or something like that. And, you know, they want to help people that are, you know, abused in relationships, obviously. But when you read that list of the 15 signs you're in an abusive relationship, All 15 signs apply to what the government is doing to us now, specifically with COVID. I mean, it's just a mind-blowing thing to see it so obvious, yet so not fully understood by the public. Final minute and a half left that we have here with you, Dr. McDonald. What are your final words?
I have been exploring the psychological underpinnings of this pandemic for 2 years. As I said earlier, this is not a medical pandemic, it's a psychological one. And I have been censored, I've been suspended, I may end up losing my Facebook and Twitter feeds very shortly, just as what happened with Dr. Robert Malone about 10 days ago. So I've begun to write, and I'm writing on Substack, and it's called Dissident MD, which is the same name as my website, dissidentmd.com. And I'm covering topics like the one you just addressed, trauma, sadism, the encouragement of others to humiliate and torture the fellow man for their own pleasure. These sorts of sicknesses need to be addressed much more directly, in my opinion, than this medical pandemic, because this is the underlying problem. I also have a podcast with Dr. Jeff Barkey, which we publish every 7 to 10 days, which is called Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics, where we talk about medicine and psychology. I write books. I've written United States of Fear. I'm going to publish another one in a couple of months. The psychology is so important. Americans need to understand that this is a mental illness. This is a psychological warfare campaign. This is not a medical campaign. And if we can all do that, if we can inform ourselves, lose the fear, then I think we have a chance to move forward. And if we do not, we're going to go the way of the Soviet Union.
Dr. Mark McDonald, powerful hour. We thank you for your time and just great work spreading the truth, and we hope you keep it up.
Thank you very much, Owen. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, now it's up to you. You've got to take this video. You've got to go to band.video, download it, spread the link, whatever you can. Put your bug over ours. Put your watermark over ours. We don't care. We want the information to get out. That's the key.
When I first got on air 28 years ago, if you talked about the New World Order, if you talked about George Soros, you would get set up by the FBI and sent to prison. I watched it happen to members of Congress, like Congressman Hansen and others. But because of their work, we now stand on their shoulders decades later, and most people know about the globalist agenda. Most people know about multinational corporations and the New World Order. But they understand that those big multinational corporations are backing the whole leftist establishment movement that seeks to destroy nation states and seeks to overthrow the remnants of Christendom and replace it with their soulless, anti-human, depopulation-based New World Order. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars took the globalists on because we knew their plan was evil, and we knew we had a responsibility to fight back against it. And so now we're a major target, and now we are under political attack, cultural attack, economic attack, and most importantly, spiritual attack. And so that's why I want to remind you that this is a fight between good and evil, and remind you the power you have in prayer, and ask you for myself, my family, and the InfoWars crew to pray for InfoWars, for our provision, for our protection, and that God lead, God, and direct us now more than ever. When you come to God with that prayer, God hears and God answers. So again, thank you for your prayers as Christmas 2021 is now past, and as we go into the year 2022, and give yourself and your family the gift of knowledge and information by keeping us on air while also getting great products that are wonderful for your body. And we have two of our best sellers that have been sold out for a long time back in stock, X2 Deep Earth Crystal Iodine, the good halogen, the opposite of iodine. It's all there. 50% off InfoWarsStore.com, now back in stock. And Winter Sun, the highest quality vitamin D3 for your immune system, the number one thing you need for your immune system, now back in stock, 50% off.